This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, we'll hear about the Xavier University Mission Animators and their year-long look at immigration and the refugee crisis. Starting us off, Uptown Cincinnati, the region's second largest job center after downtown, is getting a vibrant new innovation corridor. Kicking off the Uptown Innovation District this Saturday is a collaborative fashion event. The Style and Sustainability Gala will be hosted by Modern Makers and Urban Blooms in a 100,000-square-foot industrial space. Here to talk about the Uptown Innovation District and the two host organizations for Saturday's gala are President and CEO of Uptown Consortium, Beth Robinson, co-founders of Modern Makers, Ann Tran and Catherine Richards, and co-founder of Urban Blooms, Lily Turner. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Lily, Ann, Catherine, and Beth, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're excited.
Beth, help me get my bearings here. When we talk about Uptown, where is that located? What neighborhoods are in Uptown?
Well, Uptown is just a mile north of downtown, and we have five neighborhoods that our work encompasses. And those neighborhoods are Avondale, Mount Auburn, Coryville, Clifton, Clifton Heights. And so we work in those neighborhoods, and our work right now focuses a lot around the new interchange at I-71 and MLK. So we're also doing a lot with Walnut Hills at the moment.
And what is this Uptown Innovation District that's being developed? Tell me about that.
Well, because of the new interchange, we've been actively acquiring properties around the ramp, the new ramps, and where the interchange will land. And our vision, along with all of our community stakeholders that we work so closely with, we envision a mixed-use district where we can attract companies and institutions that are doing research in bioscience, technology, design, that we will actually have land. As you know, if you've been to Uptown, land is a scarcity. It's very much a built environment. And so what we're doing is acquiring land so that we can make developable sites that we can attract new development.
So this is in the early stages then?
That's correct. We are assembling the property and starting to have conversations with developers who are interested in bringing sites out of the ground in the area.
How big an area are you talking, Beth?
It's roughly 46 acres of land that we are looking at assembling.
And it's how much of a boost is the new interchange going to be for this? How much is that going to spur this whole project?
Well, the new interchange is truly transformational, and it will transform Uptown just with immediate access and connectivity. It'll help our neighborhoods. We're just very excited about that. And some of the ramps will open yet this year. And then the rest of the ramps will open early next year. So here pretty soon, we'll all be able to have easy access in and out of Uptown.
Any idea how long this is going to take to develop?
I think we are looking at, because we want to do it right, and we want high-quality, world-class development, and planning for it takes time, and we've been doing that over the past few years. But this is really, we're in it for the long haul, and that's the benefit of having a nonprofit community development group such as Uptown Consortium working on this, is that we take a long view. So we're thinking over the next 5 to 10 years and really into the future.
What's the status of development in Uptown? I mean, how much has gone on?
Yeah. We've had tremendous economic boom over the last 5 or 6 years. If you just look at Short Vine alone, there's been almost $1 billion worth of development between private development, what we've developed. A new Kroger store is going in. Several years ago, we kicked off the area with a new Hampton Inn at MLK. So we've seen a lot of development there. If you look in Clifton Heights, you will find U Square at the Loop, which is an $80 million mixed-use development that's very successful. And then, of course, what the institutions, our member institutions, such as Children's Hospital and the University and TriHealth and UC Health and the Zoo, the tremendous investments they've made over the past few years. It's really amazing.
What kind of response are you getting from the community about the idea of developing this innovation district?
We work very closely with our neighborhood partners because we are surrounded by our neighborhoods, and 45,000 people live in Uptown. About 53,000 people work in Uptown. So we're all in this together, and that's how we approach it. The neighborhoods are very much interested in this development, and they urged us to consider integrating housing, integrating some commercial space that would not compete with our neighborhoods, with what they have developed there and are working on, but to add to it. And also, we certainly want to invite the neighborhood and the public into the development. We don't just want the old school style research park where it's a sea of buildings that only serves the people who work there. We want this to be integrated into the neighborhood and really be a 24/7 live, work, play environment.
Now, there are, what, 55,000 people working in Uptown?
Roughly, yes.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Any idea what this will mean in terms of creating jobs in the area?
Yes. We've had some studies done where we estimate over time there is the potential on the underutilized and vacant land that we could see, and really throughout Uptown, somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 jobs created. And we're working very hard with our partners to make sure that the neighborhood residents benefit from those jobs, either accessing jobs or they support the development through small business contracting and also investment opportunities.
But we're talking about a broad range of different types of jobs.
Correct.
Because you're looking at a lot of different types of innovation.
That's right. And even hotels, you know, we'll need supportive retail, supportive commercial development. So we're envisioning having everything from PhD research type level of expertise all the way down to entry level hotel workers, restaurant operators, and the like.
And beyond just jobs, what else do you think is going to happen in terms of an economic boost for the community?
Well, we hope we attract new residents. One good sign is that we're building new townhomes on Burnett Avenue in Avondale, which isn't very far from this innovation district. And we sold out the first phase of 8 townhomes in record time. And so we embarked on phase 2. Those aren't even on the market yet, and we've already sold 3. So we know there's a demand to live in Uptown, and that gives us great confidence as we move into trying to do that around and in the innovation district as well.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Ann and Catherine, let's talk about your organization. You are part of Modern Makers. What's that?
So we are a nonprofit program that really transforms communities through experiences. So we've been really fortunate to work with Beth over the last 5 years, and she has helped us to do all kinds of programming to really integrate arts and design into this grand vision of what Uptown is. And so it's really amazing to be given the opportunity to be a part of that. So we're looking at the big scale of the city and how to transform that, but through very specific events that are very wide-ranging.
And to speak to what Beth said earlier, we try to bring together different socioeconomic backgrounds and let them see the creative environment and experiences through Modern Makers with that.
Uh-huh. We really try to partner with a lot of different people to bring different groups together and then bring the different neighborhoods together. And so what's really amazing is, you know, kind of when we first started it off, it was more of people that we knew. And then throughout all the events, it's like, you know, people come in, oh, do you know all these people? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know everyone. You know, you're meeting new people every time. And there's a really beautiful thing to that, that we've been really allowed to, through Beth's support, experiment and test different ideas out and, you know, have some events that are really successful, others that haven't been, but you're making a transformation to that landscape.
Yeah, we had very humble beginnings on Short Vine with our figure drawing night. We had a harpist in attendance.
You know,
and from there, we've evolved to this
to this huge event that we're doing now. So, and it's exciting that, you know, for the last 4 years we were in the Short Vine District, and that transformation has happened. So, you know, from the humble beginnings when we started out, it was really hard to get people to come to Short Vine. They're like, why are you in Short Vine? What are you doing there?
Yeah,
you
know, it's scary over there.
Yeah, it's scary, you know, and like we worked with the police, we worked with all different kinds of community members. And now people talk about Short Vine and go there all the time. So we've really seen the impact.
And one of the things that we wanted to do early on was use the arts and innovation to really be at the forefront of our redevelopment ideas and efforts. And that's exactly what happened on Short Vine. And they did a great job. Their programs grew out of the building that we offered them to use. And then they were holding events, I think, last at the Niehoff Center, which holds quite a few more people. And the wonderful thing about their program is they would invite neighborhood people in, neighborhood kids in, to do art with the DAP students and with professionals, and we really liked that approach.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from people in the neighborhood?
All kinds of reactions. Like, you know, I've never seen the neighborhood come together like this before. Yeah. Keep doing this. We need this.
We've seen a ton of kids from Coryville Rec Center excited to come and interact with adults on a mentor level, you know, to see that what they can strive for in the arts.
And how we do our events is in a multi-generational way. So we're not like, oh, this event is for kids. This event is for adults. It's really, how do we bring all these different generations together for this incredible experience? Because you don't need to divide something into, you know, an event for certain ages. So one event that we've successful events will host multiples of, like per year we'll have one. So one event that we've done multiple times is called Dance Draw, where, you know, we have this idea, okay, let's bring dancers in and have them be moving through space, and we'll draw them, and then the community can come and we'll have this like amazing series of drawings while dancers are moving. And so for that event, we had families come from, like, you know, 1 and 2 year olds who are drawing on the floor to a member of the community who's an artist in her late 80s, along with DAP professors, professional artists, non-professional artists. And so that was success to us, to really have this huge spectrum of people coming together.
So when you talk about art, you're talking about all different forms of art.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We've done it all. Like, a lot.
Okay. Drawing, painting, dance.
Cuisine. Cooking.
Experimental, you know, food events where we're making food into art and you're eating, you know, pretzel chandeliers off of the hanging in the space. We partnered with Franny Kroner to do that.
She had a spoon wall and there was food on
a spoon wall. I'd
on
love to
individual
see that.
Spoons. So.
And yeah, it's really through Beth's support that she led us to find Modern Makers as something that's transforming the community, and that's our mission. So the way that we can go about that can be in a very different approaches each time. And I think that's like the difference between what we do and what a lot of other nonprofits are able to do. So we've been very lucky.
Yeah. We will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You hear something interesting anytime you tune to 91.7 or 88.5, and if you made a contribution to help support the station this year, thank you so much. If not, we'd love to hear from you right now. Make that call to 513-419-7155, or you can give online at wvxu.org or wmub.org. And I should mention that Ken Rudin and Howard Wilkinson are going to be on tomorrow's show. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and my guests this afternoon are CEO of Uptown Consortium, Beth Robinson, co-founders of Modern Makers, Ann Tran and Catherine Richards, and the co-founder of Urban Blooms, Lily Turner. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Lily, let's talk about Urban Blooms. Tell us about your organization.
Yeah, so Urban Blooms is a Cincinnati-based 501c3 nonprofit, and we promote a more sustainable, environmentally conscious lifestyle while improving public health, energy efficiency, and kind of aesthetic appeal of any urban area. We're able to do this through sustainable community projects such as community gardens and construction of the temporary and permanent living wall installation.
Tell us about the living wall. Those are very interesting. Tell us exactly what those are.
Yeah, it's starting to become kind of a new trend. It started over in Europe about 25 years ago by a guy named Patrick Blanc, and now they're starting to come to the States in the last 5 years. And essentially, they're a vertical garden system, and the way our systems are designed are they're self-irrigated, and so it's almost sophisticated irrigation because we're leaving our clients with essentially no maintenance. So they can have their garden, they don't have to worry about keeping up with it or trimming it or replacing any plant casualties. So it is really interesting. It really increases the vibrancy of any urban space, indoor or out.
So where are living walls, where have they been installed so far?
So our first installation was at Ohio State University, and that was an exterior wall on Howlett Hall, which is their horticulture building. We now have one at E&O Kitchen in Hyde Park, and that's actually the largest in Ohio. It's in their back dining area. We've installed two residential walls now, one in a more modern home in Mount Adams, and that's 20 feet tall. We actually ran that system up the guy's elevator shaft. It's really beautiful, and that is more of a kind of a living art piece. The wife wanted kind of a CNC cut stainless steel frame around it, so there's different pockets for different sections. It's really beautiful, breathtaking. And then we have another one in Hyde Park, kind of up by Edwards, and that's an exterior wall. That's about seven strips on the outside of someone's rock wall by their pool.
Now, the one that you say is the largest in Ohio, Lily. How big is that?
That's about 8 feet by 16 feet, but we're looking to crush that record with the Kroger that Beth mentioned earlier that's going up in the Uptown Innovation District. That we're installing a 27-foot high by 6-foot wide garden, and that will go up through their cafe, two floors. So we're very excited about that project.
And how well are these catching on?
How well are they catching on?
Yeah.
I would say fairly well. I mean, out west, you see them a lot in L.A., New York, Chicago, kind of bigger cities, but a lot of our competitors or people that are in this area, they are for-profit. So we're the only nonprofit that we've come across in the world through our research that do this. But we incorporate as a nonprofit because there's a tremendous amount of environmental benefits and social benefits that go along with these walls. So we believe they can have a high positive impact if they were sizable, such as like a mural downtown. So we think that's very important. They kind of act as natural air purification systems. They're sound absorbing. They can even drop temperatures from 3 to 6 degrees in any city area, which we definitely need for the summers in Cincinnati.
So these really do they really do contribute to sustainability.
Absolutely. Gardening is an equalizer. And one of our community gardens we're very proud of, it's a veterans horticulture garden, and we run a therapy program out of that. So we have a bus full of veterans come down from the VA once a week. And these veterans are going through the rehabilitation program at the VA. So anyone suffering from drug or alcohol or even PTSD, they'll come down, they'll get their hands in the dirt, and we create these kind of low risk but high reward environments where the only opportunity for them is to succeed. And when you have, when you complete a project, no matter how small or large, you get that sense of accomplishment, and it really is a self-esteem booster. So we have found it really successful.
So let's talk about the upcoming Style and Sustainability Gala that's going to be this weekend, is it? Okay.
Yeah, this Saturday.
This Saturday. Wow. So how much work and planning has gone into this?
Oh, this has been since March. Very long time.
Yeah. Well, really, 2 years, I guess, when we started our relationship with Modern Makers. Mm-hmm. They kind of took a leap of faith with Urban Blooms when we just had a prototype done and, you know, a lot of digital renderings to show. And they allowed us in one of their art shows that they mentioned earlier. And it was really fantastic to work with them.
So tell me about the gala itself. What's this going to be like?
Yeah, so we're so excited. This is our first and biggest event in the new Innovation District. And so Beth came to us and was like, well, I have this building, and it's pretty big.
And it's pretty rough.
Yeah, and so we went in.
100,000 square feet, is it?
100,000 square feet, which is 2.2 acres of space. I looked it up. We're not using all of that space. But
what did this building used to be, Beth?
Well, it was originally built, it was the old Rubles Bakery building. And most recently, a company, a landscaping supply company, was located there. And we purchased it because we are assembling that block for future development. So I said, well, we have a rough building, and I'd love to bring the focus of innovation in this corridor. And they signed up immediately because they're good sports and adventuresome.
Yes, it's part of that, our ethic of being a part of the changing landscape. So we're making this amazing event.
So it's going to be a huge fashion show and gala. So we're working with over 20 designers. We have over 50 models that are wearing different looks that are all made using plant material. So flowers, leaves, twigs, all different kinds of plant material. So moss, it's going to be moss. We have a moss runway, which was Lily and Tyler's idea.
Yeah.
And they built it, and it looks amazing. So it's going to be really incredible.
And all the models will be barefoot on the moss runway. Yeah. And Urban Blooms, they're going to have vertical gardens throughout the space.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, they will be act as a vendor show for the first hour and a half. So similar to the kind of City Fleet concept, it's all local vendors. Anywhere from luxury men's suits to ceramics and scarves. So a big part of this really project's mission is to put a spotlight on all of our local nonprofits and startups and small businesses and kind of expose their efforts and celebrate them and what they give back to our city.
And a lot of the fashion designers, well, we have a lot of DAP students and then DAP graduates, recent DAP graduates who are working in fashion or art, who are making things for the event, and then they're also having booths and selling things. So, and we have a changing room where you can try things on and do that. And so it's you know, we're really offering this opportunity for all these people who are doing amazing things to come together and allow people to see what they're doing.
So this is on Saturday. What are the hours?
From 7 until 10 p.m.
Okay. And can people get more information? Is there a website?
Yes. Check out ssgala.eventbrite.com for ticketing information and to find out all about the designers. Check out our Facebook, Modern Makers, modernmakers.org.
And we have links to those at wvxu.org as well. So how excited are the three of you to be doing this?
Oh, we're so excited.
Yeah. We're excited. It's finally
a little nervous, maybe.
Happening.
Yeah. There have been a lot of logistics involved in this.
Yeah. So. It's a very ambitious project to do something in such a big space, but it's done through partnerships. Like, we couldn't have done it with Lily and Tyler have put so much work into this and have so many great ideas. And, you know, we're working with, we have skateboarders coming in and using part of the space as a skateboard park. We have a tea room where you can get your drink tea and get your leaves read by...
Yeah, Urban Blooms also, there were a lot of old pallets in the space, and they deconstructed those pallets and created furniture for the event. So definitely in the vein of the sustainability.
Also, following the runway show, there'll be a dance performance performed by Elements Dance Studio. And I'm personally very excited with that. Working with the executive director, Tom Kent, he has been really excited about what we're trying to pull off here from the minute. And I think the dancers are really excited, too. And hopefully they'll, you know, liven up the crowd and encourage them to stay after and dance with us.
But Beth, this is like the kickoff for the Innovation District, right?
That's right. That's right. And it fits perfectly with our theme of experimentation and innovation that happens in Uptown. And my job mainly is to stay out of their way, to stay out of the creative's way. And so we couldn't be more thrilled with this event.
Yeah, looking ahead, say, 10 years from now, what do you think the Innovation District is going to be like?
You know, I think it'll be a place, a mixed-use environment where people live and work. I think people will want to come there for exciting events. I think it'll be walkable, accessible. I hope to see a lot of neighborhood folks working there. I just think it'll be a great place for all of Cincinnati.
Well, Lily Ann, Catherine, and Beth, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
President, thanks for having me.
Very welcome. President and CEO of Uptown Consortium, Beth Robinson, co-founders of Modern Makers, Ann Tran and Catherine Richards, and co-founder of Urban Blooms, Lily Turner. Again, the Style and Sustainability Gala takes place this Saturday from 7 until 10 in the evening, and you can find a link to more information about it at wvxu.org. Coming up, we'll learn about the Xavier Mission Animators. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.